Hello and welcome to Our Dads Died with me, Tom.
And me, Rich.
This week we're going to be talking about anniversaries tied in very nicely to the fact that we just had a very big one surrounding my dad. But before we do, I want to talk about something. I went to visit my family just a few days ago at the time of recording. Went down south to see my stepmum, to see my brother, sort of dad adjacent figures in the family.
Yes.
And I was, it'd be fair to say, feeling a bit griefy. You know when you feel a bit griefy?
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you've got the beginnings of a cold. It's there. You can power on through it, but
stuff
knows something's coming.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sort of headache. And feeling a bit griefy, and it was kind of building a bit because what we were going to do was our something we will talk about on this episode, which is our Good Friday tradition, as it once was this week, not on Good Friday, to go to the zoo with my dad, as listeners will recognise from the Dreams episodes. So we were going down south to see them, but because I was feeling a bit griefy, Rich, I wasn't thinking as well as I normally do.
Right.
Mind a bit clogged, a bit clouded. I was working, and then the grief feelings were happening when I wasn't working, so I wasn't really thinking, and nor was I really even sleeping this week. It's been actually quite a bit of a weird one for me.
Okay.
So all of this is by way of saying I didn't remember to do everything you're meant to do when you get on a plane. And
yes, okay, interesting.
Whilst I remembered some of the things you're meant to remember, e.g. passport, I
Very
didn't
important.
Remember that if you are going to fly, even domestically, you do have to check in online before getting to the airport. And those who do not do this pay a heavy, heavy price.
But surely, I mean, it's pretty commonplace now. It's pretty bog standard. So obviously you checked it online before you left for the airport.
Because that's what everyone would do. But such was the state of the grief. My brain was so clouded, I forgot everything. I forgot to order the taxi to the train station. I forgot to buy the train tickets for the train. Now, that bit doesn't matter. You can do that just before you get on a train in this country. If you live in Scotland, you know, ScotRail, it's fine. You know, that return to Edinburgh from Glasgow is very reasonably priced on the day. It's no stress. The plane bit, not so much. So unfortunately, I remembered whilst on the tram to Edinburgh Airport, unfortunately, within the 2-hour window where it was too late.
Oh dear. Okay. So, damage wise, what are we? Let's go financial, if you're willing to disclose, and then sort of personal, marital, should we say? Because you were with your wife at the time,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. And she definitely would have thought that I had already done that, as she made very clear to me. She assumed that I'd already done that, as most would. The financial repercussions, as clearly stated on Ryanair's website, £110.
Wow.
That's straight... It's £55 total, but I wouldn't necessarily say that that's a good deal.
No.
That goes...
No.
Straight into the pockets of Mr. Ryanair, and you know, I don't know if that stays in the country, but I don't imagine it's put to too good a use. Unfortunately, not really a positive light you can spin on it, because if I'd remembered 15 minutes earlier, I would not have had to pay it. But this is what I want to say. Here's the spin I can put on it. I think this is an example of one of the hidden costs of grief. Because I sort of didn't really want to think about this trip very much last week, and was kind of just, it was happening, and I was sort of thinking of it like that. We're going to go down, we're going to do it, but I'm not thinking about it. It's just going to happen because it makes me a little bit sad and I don't want to think about it. So it was kind of like that, and I was constantly putting it out of my head to the extent that I put it too far out of my head.
Right.
And, you know, the fees are clearly, I should say the fees are clearly advertised on Ryanair's website, so I can't really complain. It's obviously a policy that's, I think maybe evil is too strong of a word, but certainly...
Oh, extortionate, I think is...
It's, It's not putting good into the world, is what I would say about it.
No.
But it is, it's fair in the sense that they do tell you ahead of time that it exists as a fee.
Yeah, and in the modern world of capitalism, if you tell someone that you're going to stab them to death, and then 2 hours later you stab them to death, it's like, listen, mate, I told you. I did warn you that this was going to happen. So you're putting this down to grief. How quickly did you try that excuse on your wife?
Straight away, and she was uninterested, and rightly so.
So she vetoed it, I assume.
Yeah, it was an immediate face like, you're not having that. She was like, you're not having that for a second. She knew my dad for 12 years, bear in mind, before he passed away, so I certainly can't get away with my grief's too bad. It's like, she knew him when he was only good as well. She didn't even have memories of him when he was a bit rubbish when I was a child. So from her perspective, he was really good father figure. Yeah. So, you know, in a way, a bit worse than her. So I've no excuse. But I'm trying to get one anyway.
You're still, Well, stick with it. Because as soon as you change it, then it will never work again.
Exactly.
It's the boy who cried wolf. So you have to maintain that it was 100% grief based.
It's all grief.
I can't remember the last time I used grief as an excuse, but I know that I have. I know that I have on many occasions where you've done something and you're like, there is no way for me to explain this. That isn't just I'm forgetful or I was a bit of a dick.
Yeah,
and so scrabbling around in the darker recesses of your mind, you go, well, and it's sort of a fair bargain, because when you lose your dad or anybody, you do miss out on a fair bit. It is quite a big hit. There are very few positives, and in many ways, I think you should be able to play that card maybe once a year to just go, look, my dad's dead. And then, of course, if they've also got a dead dad, they can flip reverse it. They can play theirs on top of yours, cancel the whole thing out, back to square one. If you've got a dead mum, play that on top. Fantastic. Good for you. Yeah. But then you've used both of your dead parents in one fell swoop.
It's also, you can't go like grandparent on top of that. Like in the hierarchy of grief, you can use
grandparent. You know. It's got a much
Dad. That would go before dad. Dad's on top of grandparent, surely.
Oh, yeah, of course. If you play a grandparent, they put a parent on top of it, you're out.
Yeah. You say fair
enough.
And
you can't double grandparent.
No.
Two grandparents is not the same as a parent.
Two grandparents is to be expected as well. I mean, you've lost privileges as well, so you've got to really be careful with it. The hidden costs of grief. I don't know. There might be something in it.
Yeah, we're maintaining it. We're maintaining that is the reason, and I will back you up on that.
Thank you.
In any way possible. This week's topic is sort of related to that, isn't it? We thought we'd record this because it is very close to a sort of special anniversary tradition of yours and your father's and your family's.
That exactly it is. So let's talk about that on this week's episode of Our D's Deed.
That sounds like a Scottish version.
Our Dad's Deed!
Yeah, Good Friday is a big day in the Gherkin clan, isn't it? And not just because of course, as we all know, Jesus died on Good Friday.
Then rose.
They rolled away the stone, and then he popped back up on the Sunday.
No. Wait. Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you right? Yes, you are right. That's quite a tight turnaround, isn't it?
What is the stone thing about, though?
They took him off the crucifix, popped him in a cave, and popped a stone in front.
Yeah, and then when they came back, the stone had been rolled away, which you'd have to get out of the cave.
Yeah.
I think he'd rolled it. Maybe,
but doesn't he fly away?
What do you mean he flies away?
He flies up to heaven at the end. He goes, "All right, bye," and he flies to heaven.
Which version of the Bible have you been reading?
I'm sure, that's true.
Jesus sure dies on the Friday.
It's the Ascension.
On the Sunday, he comes back out of...
He literally rises.
Yeah. Right, but at no point in the Bible does it say, and then Jesus flew up to heaven. Comes flying out of a cave like a bat. It's a stream of Jesus's.
English Bible, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lovely image, don't get me wrong. In my head, he's flapping his little arms.
Yeah, he's going. He's going. Yeah, so Good Friday's important. I thought you were going to say, not least because it's now going to be remembered as a day where I gave Ryanair 100 quid.
Well, that's it.
It wouldn't be because, of course, you're listening to this one on Good Friday if you're listening the day the episode airs. Normally, for the last decade, and actually for the last 15 years almost now, for a decade while my dad was still with us, on Good Friday, that is 2 days before Easter, we would go to Marwell Zoo in South England, and we would walk around and look at the animals, and it was just a bit of a tradition that sort of started, I don't know why, let's go to the zoo, and then, you know, it turned into one of them. It's like an organic tradition, you know.
Yeah, didn't begin as like, we'll do this every year. It was just a thing that you did, and then you did it again, and then you just kept doing it.
Exactly. So this is the anniversary around my dad that we have the easiest foothold into, my family, because so long as Good Friday continues to happen, we can meet up either on Good Friday or on another Friday near it, and we can go to the zoo. We can still do that thing to mark that day and keep the tradition rolling on. Now we have a stop at the pygmy hippos, my dad's favourite animal, as long-term listeners will know. And indeed at his bench, which is beside it with a plaque with his name on, John.
Does it say anything else on the plaque, or is it just John Gherkin?
I think it just says John Gherkin, but I do always take a photo.
You've never read it. Never bothered to actually check.
Oh, it's got so many more words on it.
It says James Gannon. It's not even him. It's a different guy.
It's got so many more words on it, Rich. It's nowhere near just John Gherkin. It'd be weird if it was just that.
Yeah, just John Gherkin.
It's certainly...
It's got to be date of birth, date of death, right?
No, none of that. None of that stuff.
Oh, okay. This bench is dedicated to, or in memory of... John Gherkin.
In loving memory of
John Gherkin, a bald man who is dead now. Is it that?
I mean, that might be, but I think that's funnier. I think that's better. This says, time spent here will forever be special and full of happy family memories.
Oh, that is
very nice. And then someone sort of had a go at scraping it off in the bottom right. Not sure who that was.
Okay.
And they filled in the O a little bit, but it's broadly there, and that's the bench. I didn't sit on it this time, which I normally do, just in the corner beside the bench on the floor there are no ashes nor marks where ashes once were, because that would have been illegal, so there certainly aren't any there, yes. Nor were there.
Good.
But the pygmy hippos came out this year in a very prominent way, as the pictures will now show on the thing. But there's one for you, Rich, whilst you're watching.
Oh, yes, hello.
There he
God,
is.
God, they're funny looking things, aren't they?
Yeah, they're big boys. Bit like my dad, in a way.
Shinier than I expected, I'd say.
Like a bit like my dad, like in your a dad. Way.
Yeah.
Very shiny.
Certainly shinier than I expected.
As a sweaty man, I have to say, he did have a bit of a shine to him. So I don't think that's incorrect. He glistened.
Yeah.
The morning sun. So we have this anniversary tradition where we go.
Was it ever discussed after he died as to whether or not you would do it that year, or it was unspoken and everyone just sort of went, well, we're doing it, are we? And
So that year, he died in 2019. So, of course... Good Friday 2020.
Yeah. Right.
We are barreling into the territory of COVID. But I myself had already taken myself out of the running by taking a stint in working in the US for a few months.
Yeah.
Which some might say was a way of coping. Who really knows?
But was that raised amongst the rest of the family? Did anyone say? Because there must have been. Was it being planned and then COVID happened and it couldn't happen, or had it not been mentioned yet and then?
Yeah, I think it had been discussed as a thing to happen. I think the vague plan was, this is something we've been doing for the past, decade at that point. What would be the reason not to? You know,
well, that he's dead. I imagine that would be the key one.
Yeah, that's good. But we'd already built it in, you see, because before he died, we gave him a gift sponsoring the Pygmy Hippo.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave him that as a gift, him sponsoring it. And so then after he died, we all kind of put in on a plaque as well at the zoo. So it kind of felt a lot like, well, you want to see the plaque because, you know, spent money on that.
Yeah.
And it's a very tight man. If we hadn't seen the plaque we bought, I think my dad would have been quite annoyed at us. So, you know, it would have, you don't want to annoy a ghost, certainly not that quickly. So
absolutely not.
You know, it felt, I think it felt inevitable, really. I think it probably actually felt quite inevitable that it would just keep happening forever. And you know, the more of us that die, the more plaques we'll have. And eventually there'll be
on the same
bench. On the I've turned that around. That's better. Yeah. Put us all on the bench.
Before long, so it's just, you can't even, and then you're putting plaques upon plaques, and it's just mayhem after a while.
Stacks and plaques, yeah.
Yeah. Was it emotional the first time that you went back post, because you had the final trip and it wasn't acknowledged that it would be a final trip?
That's true, and we didn't know it would be the final trip either. Bear in mind, the final trip was a really sunny day. It was unbelievably sunny, just the best weather. It was kind of too hot really for him in a way.
he was shining
very much,
always did in the summer,
but he by that point had completely lost the ability to make his own saliva. All had to make saliva for him. No, so he... It's a horrible thing to do at the zoo, but it's kind of animalistic. It's like a bird feeding its young, you know. So he was popping polos the whole day, that sort of thing, to keep the juices flowing.
The juices flowing, yeah, of course.
I might have said this on the podcast before. I'm not sure if I have, but I'll say it again. If I haven't. And now I know I definitely have. I remember him telling me this separately. He said he went to the specialist and the specialist gave him his advice with the polos and so on. Werther's Originals, I think, was the other one. Just keep the juices going. And he said a few days later, you know, when he went back again, what's the plan in terms of kind of fixing this? Like, how are we going to fix this so I can get his life back? The surgeon guy, the specialist, just went, you know, that's probably at the back of the queue in order of things we need to do.
That's the least of your worries, essentially.
It was basically just like, I'm not touching this one. That ain't me. I can't be bothered with this nonsense. How about we see if you die of cancer first, all right? How about we do that one?
Yeah. Yeah,
if you make a miraculous recovery,
then we'll revamp those saliva glands of yours. But until then, let's focus our energy. So that the first trip after his death, when you went back, was it emotional? How was it?
I think it was a bit emotional. I definitely think seeing the plaque on the bench and all that was a bit final in a way. It was quite a final thing to do, really. But at the moment you build a memorial for someone, that is quite. You don't generally do it when they're alive. That tends to be a dead man's game.
Very much so.
So that did feel a bit like, oh yeah, no, that is putting the point on that he's not alive. But I think it's also sort of in that, it falls in that lovely ballpark middle ground of just me just sort of coping around.
Yeah.
Just coping around. You know,
muddling
my way
essentially
through the zoo. Looking at animals, saying, yes, these are animals. I enjoy looking at them. On this particular visit, my nephew, he's 8 years old, so he goes on the phone a lot. You know, that's sort of what the kids do nowadays. He says, as a technology journalist, they're all bloody phones.
And thank God.
They are. And he was on his phone. A snow leopard had just come out and was sat right by the thing, which is amazing. You don't see this normally. He said, really, oh, look at this snow leopard. That's so cool. And he didn't really. He was looking at his phone. And then sort of after a bit, I was like, oh, Dexter, you sort of missed the snow leopard. It's right there. And then he went, I didn't miss the snow leopard. I knew he was there.
Knew he was there. Just didn't want to look at him.
That's fine. In a way, his zoo visit is being in proximity animals rather than actually seeing them.
Yeah, yeah. He just needs to sense their presence.
Being near them. Which is also mostly what a zoo is.
Yeah.
Being aware that you're near an animal.
Not to become too sort of, again, old man shouting at clouds, but if you grow up with the internet and you can check your phone, you can see a video of a snow leopard any second of any day, and it will be doing something way cooler than sitting by a fence.
Yeah, much better quality than the reality. But still, like, the quality of the video would be so much better. He's sitting there, and he's watching a video of him doing a cartwheel and snowboarding and all that stuff.
Exactly. He can just get up an AI prompt and say, show me a snow leopard marrying my mother. He can do it.
There
anything he wants. Yeah.
Knowledgeable AI.
Yeah.
What a nightmarish future that's sadly real and present. Not really a future, current. What a nightmarish current we've built.
What a nightmarish current we're in. The reason I wanted to ask that question about whether it was emotional or not with your dad, well, without going there without your dad,
very much so,
is that those sort of anniversary things, I think, I don't know if you find this, but sometimes the pressure that you put on those days to be a day where you feel something, and we've discussed this with a couple of guests, but that's not really how grief works. It doesn't respect the Gregorian calendar. And so as much
follows
as we
the
all...
the Russian character calendar system, unfortunately, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, which is a real shame for us. It's why it all seems so sort of higgledy-piggledy. It is following a format, it's just not our format.
Yeah.
But I've often found that any sort of enforced traditions, days where I should be feeling emotional about my dad, it's almost there's too much pressure on you to do it, and you don't feel anything. And then, but what you do feel is sort of the absence of feeling, which is sort of worse. It would be better if you could reserve your grief for chosen days throughout the year, and have your grief on those days. But annoyingly, it doesn't work.
Yes, Kelly Lynette Dutton, anniversaire de la mort de la paix.
What is the date of the anniversary of my dead dad?
Yeah, that... something like that. It almost makes sense.
It's all the words were there, and I understood most of them.
Anniversary is probably wrong, but yeah, it's sort of the birthday of your dad.
What's the date of your birthday? And then I think you said of the death father. Yeah, of the death of father. 22nd of January. 2014, yes. Specifically. No.
Is that his birthday? No, he wasn't.
Sorry, yeah, that was his birthday.
Briefly in your head, he'd sort of done a Shakespeare.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also claimed he was born just 10 years ago.
I actually missed that bit, which is probably the more important bit. So the birthday of the... So that was just madness, what you just said. That has no bearing on
anything. Well, you confused me with the French question.
Yeah, was, of course. You were using the Russian
in the French calendar. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Never
the
date
French calendar.
Of the birthday of the death of the father. What's happened there is you've just referenced a podcast we've recorded, but we'll come out after this one. So a little Easter egg for anyone listening in a few weeks. Never keep to the French. Would have been a really good callback.
On Easter as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, the date of his death, as we've discussed, was very close to Christmas, 23rd of December, 2014. Yes. So a lot of traditions around that time of year, regardless. Mm. And a lot of them have continued anyway, but that's just sort of Christmas, isn't it? It's hard to kind of go, this is something we do in memory of Dad. It's sort of like, this is what you do on Christmas.
You said a lot of them have continued anyway, which suggests that some of them haven't. So what hasn't continued? What did you drop?
I mean, Dad cooking the dinner was probably one we had to get rid of quite soon afterwards.
Yeah.
That was a tradition, but the first year we tried to keep that one going and we got very hungry and it just didn't work.
Terrible. I could have got someone else's dad to cook you for dinner.
Yeah, that's true. We could have got his dad to cook us the dinner.
Yeah, that's true. How old would he have been at that point?
In the midst of his grief. He'd have been in his mid to late 80s.
Yeah, do you think he had any capacity to cook food?
Yeah, he was still cooking around then.
He's still alive.
He's still going.
But is he still cooking?
He is not cooking.
Yeah,
He is having a lovely time not knowing who he is or where he is, but enjoying it.
He's enjoying not cooking, as we all want to one day.
Yes,
so he could have done the cooking. So, I mean, in a way, you had a dad there to do the cooking.
There were father figures around. I remember the year that he died, we all, me, my mum and my brothers, we cooked the dinner. And it was I remember it being sort of fun. We got it wrong. We burnt something and we sort of laughed and cried and it was horrible and nice at the same time. But the year afterwards, we went round to a neighbour's and he cooked for us. His wife had died a few years earlier than that. And my mum's mum had died a few months before that. So a lot of death had happened. And so there were remaining grandparents, neighbour and us. And that was, on the surface, a lovely day. In practice, for me at least, absolutely awful.
Yeah.
I struggled with that Christmas a lot more than I did the Christmas that he actually died. But tradition-wise, the only sort of tradition that we have on that time that has sort of happened since Dad died is on the day that he died, we all come back home and we all go and visit his grave. And you'll visit at different times throughout the year, of course, but all of us together we go and lay flowers on his grave and polish the plaques on his bench.
Oh, what do they say?
Yeah.
The plaques on his bench? The multiple?
Good question. There's two benches.
Your dad's got two benches.
He is benched up TF, this guy.
I need to get double benched. Bench just to pick up the pieces.
Compete. He's got two benches side by side. I think the plaques just say Dr. John Spaulding. And
I bet it said so much more than that.
For now, let's just say it was Dr. John Spaulding, birthday, death day. I think that's what it says. And we polish that each year and we visit the grave. And then we reenact his death. And then we all get airlifted to hospital.
who plays which role? Does your brother have to reprise his role every year?
No. Some years I'm dad, sometimes mum's dad and I'm mum. It's very...
That's great. That's important.
I mean, psychologically very troubling and harrowing for us all.
Are you doing that in front of the grave then?
Yep, we do that in front of the grave. Yep. That's how we do it. And we do it up to the burial every year. Symbolic.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really traumatic, I've got to be honest. I don't know why we keep doing it.
Terrible. So every year you're going to the grave, that is one thing.
Yeah, and that is essentially, I think, the only true tradition that we have. And at the start, it was a really sad day for the first few years. I remember it being a really, particularly for my mum, I think, it was a really hard day being reminded of everything that happened. And then... as time's gone on, I really look forward to it. It's a day that I enjoy a lot. I do remember when I first started my current job, I started quite late in the year and I always book the 23rd off so that I can go home and have the day off and go and visit the grave and stuff. But too many people were off that day already so that I couldn't book it off. And I remember being quite new in the job, trying to book it off, being denied that holiday. And then having to call my boss into a meeting and sort of because I hadn't told anyone that my dad was dead.
Yeah.
And having to sort of explain and almost crying, and
yeah,
it just it for some reason that was one of those weird Russian calendar moments where it hit me that day, and I were choking back tears in a meeting with a man that at that point I'd known for a matter of weeks. And
did you get it off?
I did, yeah. And that was a real watershed moment, because early on, if they then said, I don't really care.
Yeah,
sorry.
That'd be tough to carry on.
You'll be
that,
working
really,
that day. Yeah, yeah.
I suppose that's a pretty good example of where playing the grief card goes successfully.
Yeah.
I just think if I try that with the bosses of Ryanair, I just don't imagine they're going to...
Well, they need
into a meeting
to see a more concrete... bit of relevance. I don't think you could say, you go, listen, my dad said, and they go, oh no, recently. You go, no, well, no, but this is in memory of him. And they'd be like, oh, so it's the anniversary of when he died. You'd be like, well, no, it's the anniversary of when Jesus died, and that,
yes,
and in a way he is all of our father, so...
Certainly one of the big J's went on that day, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the big ones. In a way, well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made here. I mean, you know, we don't have a grave to visit, you know. And actually, no, if only part of him had been scattered at Marwell. But of course, that would have been illegal, so that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But had
so
that
you
happened,
can't.
I would have been able to say that's where he is, part of him at least. But I can't say that, because that didn't happen. Because that'd be breaking the rules. So I can't. So there you are. If only I would be I'd be £100 better off, but in prison. So,
God, what a bargain to have to make.
Dichotomy.
One thing that I would like to ask is, so your dad, he was ill for 2 years, and you were quite aware. Like he was definitely going to die, for how long? For a couple of months, would you say, of that time, or longer?
Yeah, I think there were a couple of months where the writing was on the wall.
Yeah,
although there's a false equivalency there, because that had happened a couple of times before, but he'd just been fine after. He'd come out
the daddy cried wolf. Yeah,
so a little bit, which ultimately did really make it more dramatic when it finally did happen. The wolves came jumping.
Yeah, yeah. It's a high stakes game, that, isn't it? Playing chicken with your dad's death.
He said
he was going to die twice before.
I can tell you when I knew he was going to die. Which I don't think I've said on the podcast before. So here we go.
Yeah.
It's when I definitely haven't said this before because it's quite raw. But okay. It's not funny, guys, I'm afraid. I'm just going to be honest with you guys listening. This isn't very funny. Maybe it is, but in my head it's been built up to be quite sad. We'd gone down, this is a week or 2 weeks before he died. We'd gone down and he couldn't really leave the house, but he was active around the house, and we'd sort of brought like mini golf to play in the house and this sort of thing. We'd done these sorts of activities. As we were going to leave... he got out his wallet and he gave me £100. Oh my God, that covers the Ryanair fee!
Shit!
My dad paid it! It's all right!
Oh, he was paying your debts, knowing that one day the grief you felt when he died would somehow stop you from checking in for a Ryanair flight.
But that's all right, because he paid that ahead.
What a beautiful moment.
Lovely thing. Well, there's some humour to undercut that. But unfortunately, the reality is that, it was a very strange moment where he'd given me money before, but not really like that. And the idea that he was just getting out his wallet and just trying to thrust some money in my hand, it was just such a clear moment of, you know, trying to do some good, trying to put some good in the world just at the end, trying to make some people happy a bit. Even a kind of, I'll never be able to give you any money again, so here's a bit now.
Yeah.
Obviously, subsequently, he did for his inheritance.
But... he slipped it into your hand. Did he say, just under his breath, Just make sure the tax man doesn't see this. Something like that. Was it one of those interactions?
It wasn't payment. I don't know what you think our relationship was, but it was not a bus employee relationship. By no, the
he
end,
just, he was
certainly.
Well aware. He was like,
"This
is. I don't want the tax. When I die, I don't want bloody Mr. Tax getting his greasy Inheritance fingers onto my tax. Cash. He was just slipping a little bit into the pocket.
He didn't have good enough money to qualify for inheritance tax, so that's fine. We're all right there. We don't need any investigations. but yeah, what a strange thing. But it was that day. I remember that and him giving me that. And we were sort of walking away and I wasn't thinking about it too much. But then it kind of really started playing in my head and thinking that's because he's going to die. And he knows he's going to die.
And he knows.
And he's given up now. He knows that's it. It's coming.
Oh, so, man. That's a hard moment.
There it is. And that one sticks with you a little bit. And that's why I don't give any money to anyone.
That's why you refuse to pay
grief?
For anything. It's worth playing a card. It's worth playing
the
card.
Is that in Tesco?
See what happens. The Tesco grief card. Yeah. Get some points on that. If you were in that situation where, let's say, a long time in the future, you've got a family, you know your time is numbered, you're on the way out, but you've got that little grace period before you go to try and set up some traditions for your family to carry out in the future after you're gone.
Yes.
Would you do it?
I like that idea. I have always felt that Shrove Tuesday is too good of a day to be confined to just one day.
Okay.
I mean, Pancake Day, the day when you get to have dessert for dinner, effectively. Cover it in sugar and lemons and all that. And
yes.
That's too good for just one, isn't it? I mean, it'd be nice if we could keep that, like, Shrove, not necessarily Shrove Week, but Can we do Shrove Weekend? Or
you can do whatever you want. You can just say today we're having pancakes for tea, and then you can just sort of mark it on the calendar and go, I'm not forcing you to do anything, but I am going to perhaps play a preemptive grief card and say if you are going to honour me in any way. This time next year, have some pancakes. Remember me.
It is a preemptive grief card, but it's their card. Because they're the ones grieving.
Nobody said you can only play your own card.
Wait, you can play other people's grief cards. Can I
play
yours
right?
At times? Because that sounds crazy.
I can see scenarios where you could play my grief card. Yeah.
Fantastic. I should have done that when talking to potential suitors for this podcast. think of the growth. That's quite funny. I think an extra pancake day would be lovely, like Shrove Monday, pancake days, we'll call it. And that could be like, you know, duck. You know, when you have Chinese takeout, you have duck pancakes, don't you? You have that. That's lovely. Why not have that on the Monday? And on the Tuesday, get the Nutella on that pancake.
So would it be in honour of you? Because this doesn't seem in any way related to your death. This is more just like a campaign that you're starting for actually we should have pancakes on Mondays as well.
Okay, well, I mean, I stand by that. But also, I think it's very much in honour of me. I'm known as a man who grew horizontally.
Likes to eat pancakes.
He certainly likes to eat. So, you know, why not an extra bit of food? It certainly feels like any tradition it would be food-linked, certainly.
What do you think, sort of, realistically, with your... Yeah. Let's say you die now.
Yeah.
And apart from, obviously, your birthday, the day that you died, the big holidays, is there a day that you think your wife would use to specifically remember you? And what would she do?
It's quite depressing. I mean, that is sad.
It's sad.
I think we'd be thinking about the one day. Well, we actually did it twice, but the Disney holiday, surely, Typhoon Lagoon in the Lazy River. I sort of used to joke that was my life's magnum opus, was going on that lazy river and just sitting on that rubber ring. And, you know, what I would like to happen when I die is for the lazy river to take me away. So I certainly imagine that that joke will persevere throughout my life. And it seems inevitable to me that one day my children, assuming we're lucky enough to be able to afford to go again, will remember me on that lazy river and imagine me floating away and you know, have a rubber ring for dad, perhaps with my corpse on it.
If Disney weekend will allow that.
Yeah, see what you can get
it's
away with.
It's a slippery slope, of course. Once you started that, once you allow one person's corpse on the lazy river, you're really opening the floodgates. And then it's just a river of the dead.
Bring my ashes and scatter them in the lazy river. I'll just float around for eternity.
Take my ashes and throw them at Goofy.
And stick it to Goofy and all. No, chuck my ashes in the lazy river, but the urn, that's got Goofy's mug all over it. This is my day, but what about your day? What's your life's work? What's the anniversary you would craft as a tradition that stands out for your future progeny?
Well, that's an interesting question, and that's very arrogant of me to say, considering it was my question. But it's a great question.
I feel I worded it better, but that's fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is your job. You're a professional question asker.
Of course, that is mainly what I do.
What I'm trying to think of something that would be emblematic of me, a day that people would like to remember. I think with my partner, it would be maybe the day that we met, because we've got our sort of official anniversary, but we met a good few months before that at a Halloween party, and that's kind of our unofficial anniversary that we acknowledge every year on the 26th of October. And I like to think that she'd, on that day, maybe just dress up again in the sexy cobweb costume that she was wearing when we met. She'd go back to the house that she lived in and that we then lived in. She'd get very, very drunk, as we did on that first night. And then...
What's she doing next?
I thought of something funny, but I can't. I won't say it. We'll cut this out, but I was going to say...
Well, what have we learnt? I think anniversaries are interesting. I think we've had an interesting chat about anniversaries. But what we are interested in is your anniversaries as well. And as you heard from that episode, it's not necessarily about the birth or the death of someone, but just the thing that you do, a significant anniversary around someone who's no longer with us. And I think that would be a lovely thing to hear about from you, comma, the listener.
There are unofficial ones, aren't there, I think. I don't know if you have this with your dad, but I always... It's not an anniversary, but I think of my dad a lot when the Six Nations starts, because he used to love the Six Nations. And so that's a time every year where I'm sort of reminded of his absence.
Oh, yeah, this is sort of like quick-fire anniversaries, isn't it?
Reminded?
Yeah, when there's... Well, indeed, when there is a World Cup. England's opening group game was the first football match we watched in a pub together. So it does have that kind of... Whenever England playing their first game, it has the... That comes to my mind is being very uncomfortable standing in a pub, not being able to see, and Paraguayan fella scoring an own goal. That really, you know, that all comes together in my head along with my dad, yeah, every time.
It's the moments where their absence suddenly becomes... like felt, because I think, and it's different for a lot of our listeners, I'm sure lost a parent younger than we did, like Phil, who we had on last week, Philip Kostoletsky, lost his dad when he was a child. We were adults when our dads died, and so we weren't seeing them every day, And so you don't necessarily feel the absence as instantly. You're used to waking up and not talking to your dad for a day or 2 days.
Yes.
But there are those moments where you notice that they're gone, where they should be there, and then they're suddenly not. And I think like big events, sporting events, are always going to be that. Family events, Marwell Zoo, Christmas, anything like that. Those are the days that are hard, I think, and they're not always easy to predict.
You do, when you go to places, just being there, just being home for a few days, as I was, sitting on that sofa and the person isn't there who was there is weird. Even if you're just watching television, and you've rearranged who's sitting where in order that there isn't where dad used to sit, wherever he used to sit, it's got someone sitting in it, otherwise it becomes an emblem, the chair itself. But you still think of sitting there and going, yeah, but was only a few years ago that I was sat here, he was sat there, we watched Zootopia and then Mary Poppins, and it was just the best day. It was just the best day, man. Those two movies, two of my favourite movies ever, and the BBC had them both on. Good work, BBC. What a treat we have to have such a good public service broadcaster in this country. What a treat.
They're not going to fire you, don't worry. You're fine.
I mean it. I genuinely mean it. What a lovely thing, those two movies back to back, and it just goes in your head because you think of that. For balance, they also had Gladiators on when I was there this weekend. I don't think that's very good. So sort of for balance,
Fine. Yeah.
they've done some good, they've done some bad.
For the balance, I'm sure ITV has also shown Mary Poppins at some point in the past.
But odd if they hadn't. I don't think
Yeah.
they've shown Gladiators. But they do
Good
have
point.
Bradley Walsh?
Walsh. Yeah.
Walsh?
Bradley
Probably not
Walsh.
his son.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Don't know his name.
Barney? I want to say
Don't imagine
Barney.
he'll be doing very much TV in the future. So, good, good choice of bad.
Unless, of course, if Bradley Walsh does die, Barney, you're welcome on the pod. Anytime.
Barney comes straight on the podcast. We want you
Yeah.
on the podcast under the circumstance your dad is dead. Not in a
Yes.
bad way, just in a that's the podcast. So it would be odd. But if.
We have to stress at this point that we do not want Bradley Walsh dead, and there are no plans in
I like
place
Bradley Walsh.
to put that into action,
I like
or at least
The
there are no plans that
Chase.
we know of.
He's a good host. He does The Chase well. I like that show. My friend was on that. She lost. You
Oh,
can't.
really?
No one wins The Chase. No one wins The Chase.
I counter that with my friend Roddy
What?
Shaw,
No way.
who if you are a podcast fan, you might want to listen to his podcast, How Many Geese, which is very, very good, a lot more successful than our podcast, annoyingly. He was on The Chase, and he, check this out, he was on with three older women, I would say, from memory, who each took the lowest offer, got that money, but it means that when he was up there as the final one of the four, there was about, I don't know, 4 grand in the pot, 6 grand maybe, something like that. So he took the higher offer, and there's a clip of it on YouTube where Bradley gives the three offers, he takes the higher offer, and in taking that offer, he says, "Well, Bradley, it's death or glory." And he takes the higher offer. He wins, and then they all win, and then he has to split all of that money with the people who made basically nothing at all. So he almost single-handedly won 40 grand and had to share it with three strangers.
Damn. Well, congratulations to your friend. That's incredibly impressive.
Yeah, he's
Like,
spent it all now.
basically no one wins for, well, it's not very much money ultimately. That's one of the problems
No.
with the chase, is that it's a basically no one wins, and when you do, it's not very much money. So
Yeah, fair.
thanks for listening
How
to
did
our
we
show
get onto
about death. That's
that?
our segment of the chase we do every week.
Anniversary-wise, it's going to be 10 years this year for old Papa Spalds.
John
He,
Spaulding 10 years ago.
23rd of December 2024 will be 10 years since he died, and that's a weird one. I can already feel that one might feel a bit funny, because saying
How old did you say you were when he died?
I was 24 when he died.
So, I mean, it's approaching half your lifetime in terms of how long you had him for.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's it's going to be strange, I think. It's weird just generally being able to say about something that happened a decade ago, but that you were an adult when it happened, is weird. And it's a sign of aging. But then you just sort of think, like, 10 years is such a long time to not see someone. And that's essentially, that's sort of what it feels like most of the time. It's not that he's dead, it's just that I haven't seen him. He's just sort of gone. And, yeah, so much changes in 10 years. It feels like a milestone that's affected me more than any others, because it's a surreal amount of time to have passed since then, to the point where life has become so normal that this feels a lot more normal than the idea of life before he died.
God, that is sad, isn't it?
It is sad. It's very sad. And you think about all the things that have happened since then, and all the ways that I've changed, and that
you've grown, haven't you?
And he hasn't. He hasn't had the chance to.
Grown a beard.
I wonder what he'd be like now. And I wonder what he would think of me now. Or,
oh, I imagine he would. It would. I mean, people always say, I imagine he'd be proud of you, but it's a very safe thing to say, because I think.
Yeah. Sorry, it sounds like I was asking for it there. That's not what I was going for, but
I think it's unlikely that your dad would be looking at you now and going, no, I disagree with your career trajectory. I think that's not really a dad move in general, really.
No. I think there would be days where he'd look down and go, What do you mean you spent 4 hours on Instagram? That doesn't make any sense. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever spent 4 hours on Instagram, but, you know.
I imagine, I mean, he doesn't know what TikTok is, does he?
He's on it.
He's on TikTok, your dad?
Yeah. Very successful.
Shit. I was just saying that it sort of happened after him, really, didn't it? So he...
Yeah. No, I don't know where I was going with that. He's not on TikTok. He's
an
dead.
Odd way of phrasing it. A bit like how, you know, like Napoleon didn't know dinosaurs existed, that sort of thing. Like, your dad didn't know that TikTok existed. I don't know, TikTok feels ubiquitous, but it's been around for so long that it's now going to be banned. Like, that's how long it's been around for. It's done the whole circle. And your dad didn't know about TikTok.
I know, and that is very sad. When you put it that way.
Yeah.
It's one of my main regrets after losing him is that he would have loved TikTok. It's really sad that he never got to see it.
Little videos of children dancing.
Well, all right. I don't know why that specific example has come to mind for you.
That's what TikTok is. I'm trying to undercut it with anything, because I certainly know what you mean. I sort of had a note about this in a similar vein about how when my rabbit died, Gerard, like a few years ago, I was so devastated. It was like this kind of super, like, so sad. And it took forever to not be sad about it. And the only thing that really actually ever helped me move on at all was getting a new rabbit. Ultimately, I mean, that's what fills the sadness, is the routine replacement. But you don't do it with dads. You don't adopt a new dad. Ultimately,
no.
This is something that we. But why, you know, why when why can't we set up a service where a dad? I mean, how many people are out there who regret not having a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
There must be so many people who think, oh, I wish I had a child, but I'm in the twilight of my life now. I'm 65, 70. I'm not going to have a child now. I'm too old. Sort of thing. By the way, you're not too old. Well, you're not too old to have a child. I'm not sure where I stand that advice, actually. I've not thought about it. I don't have an opinion. That's better.
That's much better.
There must be plenty of people that age who think, oh, wouldn't it be lovely to have a child? So why can't we link up those people with the people who've lost a parent, and just, you know, then they could sort of become the surrogate dad of the person who doesn't have a parent anymore. You know, it feels like adopt a dad.
Here's the question: Would you like that? Because what you're talking about is just a 70-year-old man comes round to your house.
Well, it can be virtual. It can be virtual. It doesn't have to be an in-person.
Right.
To begin with, it could ultimately lead to that. But to begin with, it could just be messaging. It does sound like I've set up a system where people can get groomed. That does, the more I think about it, the more worried I am about that. So let's say it's just for adults now. It's adults only.
As it should be.
Adopt a daddy situation.
Okay. So what you've done is you've invented Grindr. Is what's happened there. Which, I mean, look, I think someone beat you to it. I'm sure there will be a lot of willing participants. But I'm not sure you're going to get the comfort that you're expecting from that.
Oh, no. You're right. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not adopt a dad. The other problem with that is that they too will then die. So if you sort of become best friends with an older person, then you're adding another death into the mix.
That's the glass half empty way of looking at it. Glass half full, you might die before them. You never know. Death comes for us all.
Come see you first.
Exactly.